5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
But I'm here for the week. You gotta get rid of me.
Put moron number two on the phone.
No. What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listen to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
A bit better today, Tuesday, 27th of October. Welcome to the Rush Hour. Big, big show. Damien Barrett looking forward to speaking to Damo about the hub and a day-night grand final, and then, of course, all the trade news. And he is here for the week, which is a worry. Don't worry about that. But great to see you, Daisy. How are you, mate?
Bill, I'm fantastic, mate. It's about 5 hours and 59 minutes until the pubs are open here.
Ooh.
Just the strike of midnight. I didn't line up for the haircut at the barber's, but I tell you what, the Mount Erica could have a line out the front waiting for me. I'll be knocking on the door, I reckon. We're up and about and a lot to get through. I'm pumped for this one. And hopefully you lift today because you were shocking yesterday. I know you're a bit down, but it's 2 days later, so pick that bottom bloody lip up, mate, and get firing.
Shut up, Daisy. Yeah, g'day, Raps.
That's all he said.
That's
so
what's
far.
Most important, beers. We had a case last week. As best we can tell, the dinner party started with one case. By the end of the dinner party, almost everybody at the dinner party had a case of beers. People simply take this seriously, rapidly. Get on the beers. That's your civic duty. That's what's most important, and that's what must be done. Beers.
What do you think of that fact?
Not bad. Wrap that or whatever it's called. Whatever you're doing in there, you flogs. But get back on the beers. But he wasn't going to have a beer. He's going to the top shelf, I heard Daniel say.
Yeah, a glass of whiskey with his wife last night, he posted. And I may have followed suit, Bill. I grabbed something from the top shelf too.
Do you boys book in anywhere tonight at 12 o'clock or you wait for tomorrow?
I've booked in for somewhere on Wednesday night, Friday night, and somewhere for dinner on Saturday night. Can't find anywhere for Thursday yet, though.
And I'm just refreshing the feed for the Mount Erica page. I want to get there. I've been craving their steak and a pot up there. Yeah. That's what I'm looking forward to most.
Good venue. What about the bot? You going to visit the bot, Bill? Come back down?
Well, yeah, I will at some stage, but you've got to need a good session. I've got to put aside a day.
A day night.
If you're going to have a crack, it's got to be a day night session. So I've just got to put a few things aside, like this show. It always makes it hard when we do it at 6 o'clock at night.
It does.
You know?
But the pubs have been open in Geelong for what, 6 weeks, and you already need a day down here.
Well, I do, just to help some people through up there in Melbourne. Hey, Daisy, if I said to you the Richmond Best and Fairest was on last night, who would you say wins that and wins it easy?
Well, I would have gone with Dusty Martin if I hadn't seen the results. Bill, what about yourself?
No, I would have said Jaden Short. I liked his year this year. I thought he's been outstanding. Averages about 19 disposals, 5.5 marks, 4.5 rebounds. And a lot of metres gained per game, so well done to him. That is surprising, but well done to little Shorty.
Yeah, a really good year. Impressive that not that impressive, but he was an All-Australian as well. So only one of 10 who's done that, gone on in a premiership year to win the best and fairest and not be All-Australian. Beaten Dustin Martin by 3 votes. Vlosten, he finished 1 vote behind Dustin. And then Shea Bolton, I always get that one wrong, 44 votes. And Camden McIntosh, one I reckon a lot of people would read that and be surprised. He's real pivotal for them. He plays that wing role, selfless role. So a few little strange ones there. And
Liam Baker. He's another one but he just does his job week in, week out.
He does, and that's why they're such a good side. They're just genuine role players across the board. And your mate Jack Rewalt, well, he was fantastic, of course. He was just razzing everyone up again.
Where was Jack? He wasn't in the top 10, I see.
No, he wasn't. He was just potting blokes from the sidelines.
But I love this. Jack, of course, was on 360 last night, and we spoke about it yesterday. Lee Matthews stuffed up his voting. He gave Nathan Broad 2 votes instead of Short, and Jack told us all about it last night.
Well, I wouldn't have given Nathan Broad 2 votes, I can tell you that. he's smiling like a Cheshire cat, Broad. He going around and going, got 2 votes and the Norm Smith. No one's had the heart to tell him that Lethal didn't even want me to vote for him.
He couldn't tell him. One day they will when they get sober in about a week's time. Another medal for Dusty, Days?
Yeah, most definitely. He's got the Gary Ayres Award. We've spoken about it a lot in my time here. It was pretty much down to him and Mitchy Duncan. And, of course, with a best-on-ground performance, the perfect 10 votes in that grand final, he runs away with it, won it by 6. Mitch Duncan came second. But the votes on the night in that grand final, Jaden Short, he had 8 votes. Shane Edwards with 5. Tom Stewart with 3. Mitch Duncan with 3. And Shea Bolton with 1. But as I said, well done to Dusty. Mate, he's going to need a bigger house, a bigger trophy cabinet. What hasn't he won?
Well, what hasn't he won?
The best and fairest this year, but...
Wonder if I don't think he doesn't strike me as a bloke. When you walk into his house, there's the premiership jumpers and the Brownlows and things like that and the Norm Smiths, is it?
I haven't been to his house, but no, you're right. He is sort of a bit more reserved than potentially myself, who just has the premiership medallion in the top drawer in the kitchen just in case anyone wants a photo with it.
Or you wear it into the Saturday rub.
That's just so Daisy. You can see what one looked like.
Yeah, thank you. Don't be bullying. Don't be bullying anyone. Hey, what about Brandon Smith, our man on the rush hour? He is a beauty, of course, plays for Melbourne Storm, won the medal Sunday night, and he has gone global.
He certainly has. Well, we'll have a listen to it first, because it may take a bit of explaining, but I reckon those boys have had an absolute ripper of a time. Have a listen to the state of this fella.
Talk to us, Cheese. Talk to us.
Right. They try to sabotage cheese. Ain't no Philly cheese. Ain't no bubble cheese. Call me Double C. I'm the champ cheese.
Now, I saw this, Dave. I saw it because I like Brandon, but I had no idea what he was talking about.
Well, it does need a little bit of explanation. So the NBR star Dion Waiters, who plays for the LA Lakers, they call him Philly Cheese. So in his press conference or one of his videos after the game, he did that. I'm not Philly Cheese. I'm not so-and-so Cheese. I'm the CC, the champ Cheese. So I reckon Big Cheese, after, as we can see on the footage here or the pictures we have of his screenshots of Instagram, he looks like he's had 566,000 frothies and just decided to run a bit of that out. But the big fella, big Dion Waiters, has got right around it. So he's become a global phenomenon.
Did he have the ring on? Because he did say he might sell
it.
He's got the ring on.
He's got the ring on.
Why are they rings? Does anyone know that? Why do they wear them all on their pinky?
I think it only fits their pinky.
Fat fingers.
Good. That makes sense, doesn't it? Hey, why are they all wearing goggles? And what are those goggles?
Well, I don't know. All I know, again, is the Lakers. LeBron had the big goggles on. I think one for sponsorship, but also the spraying of the French champagne. I'm not sure the Great Northerns probably sting as much as the French.
No.
But the Storm boys, they're going with it anyway. And from all reports, and from what I've seen of their grand final celebrations, also the Richmond boys, they look like they're having a bloody good time, and well done to them.
Exactly. Just they're on their own, which probably makes it better, doesn't it, Dave?
Yeah, it does. And the Richmond boys, they've had DJ's Fisher in. They've had the Stafford brothers in. They've been going absolutely bunter. So well-deserved, because that year, it's been a hard year to get through, and now they've got the freedom and everyone's just happy to see them having a good time.
Who have they got? Who's that? The DJ or someone? Who was it?
Fisher.
Zach Fisher?
No, he plays for Carlton. Oh. Fisher's the DJ. Follow the Fish TV. He's got the great song Losing It. Surely you play that down there at the Cremorne.
No, we play
real wrist flicker.
Wow, I think I'd rather Sweet Caroline.
Speaking of grand finals, for the last time this year, thanks to Coates High, Damo Barrett's going to join the show next to give us all the wash up from the grand final and all the trade news of footy's craziest period. It's coming up next. It's the Rush Hour with Billy and Daisy on Triple M. Daisy and Billy, this is Triple M's Rush Hour.
Wrapping up the grand final.
And it will be the Tigers, their third premiership in 4 years.
This is Damo's recovery session.
When you need a tool, call Coates Hire on 13 15 52.
Great to see you, Damo, and it must be great to be back home, my friend.
Yeah, Bill, 2 months basically, 56 or so days away, and got back here last night, Monday night, and emotional. Family reunion, Bill. After all that time away, they wouldn't have been able to cope without me, Bill. So we managed to get the ship back on its right course last night, Bill.
Who was in tears? The kids or the dad?
No one. I wandered in the door and I was like, "G'day, Dad," and "How are you?" Yeah, that's about it.
Now, please tell us, what was it like to be there Saturday night at the Gabba Grand Final? Tell us the entertainment, the first 5 minutes of the game, just everything that happened.
Yeah, well, that first 5 minutes of the game, Bill, was quite amazing, wasn't it, with the knocking out of Nick Flosten and also in the same passage of play, the damaging of the shoulder of Gary Ablett. But, look, I couldn't have been more impressed with the pre- and halftime entertainment, particularly the halftime entertainment. Now, whether you like the band Shepherd Daisy and like that song they sing, Geronimo, to me it didn't matter because they put on a show. The lights accompanying the sound worked. I don't want to make it sound like you had to be there to fully appreciate it because obviously part of the presentation is for TV. In fact, large part of the presentation is for the TV. But being there, it absolutely worked. And I take the view, Daisy, that people would have still had a problem if they had managed to get a combination of AC/DC, Rolling Stones and Bon Jovi through. That there still would have been people having a major problem with that.
Very hard to please everyone, as you would know, Damo. So where to from here? In your eyes, and you're the one who's closest to it, do we push forward with the night grand final? Do you think it'll come back slightly to twilight or the traditional time slot?
I reckon if we do get a grand final back at the MCG, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a twilight type of fixture, just to give them a little bit of a chance on a dusk type arrangement, pre-match with certain acts. And then I think at halftime, whether they extend that, but whether they make the halftime as they do in the Super Bowl, that would arguably allow for the best of both worlds. I mean, I was at the and were fortunate enough to be inside the Richmond compound on the Sunday morning after the game, and it actually was a theme from the captain down that and again, let's face it, when we're talking about a grand final, it's the winners who should be listened to most. They just made the comment that it was 3 a.m. by the time they'd basically managed to relax, have one or two beers, and then they're absolutely stuffed. So I think we factor all that in, and get to a twilight fixture might be the way to go. But I can't see it going back to a daytime to just put a line on that part of the conversation.
How did that party finish up there in the Richmond Hub? Were you just sort of lurking around for a couple of those stubbies they were seeking back, or just casting an eye from afar?
There were a few sore and sorry heads that morning. That was a Sunday morning. But, geez, it seemed to take off again Sunday afternoon, didn't it? Yeah. What was going on with those DJs and all sorts of stuff going on? Brandon Ellis, Bill, was managing to get himself back in as a tie for the purposes of celebrations.
Who else was there, Daisy, did you say?
The Stafford brothers, they had Fisher, they had a cast of Kevy Proctor from the Gold Coast Titans.
Kevy Proctor was there. That's usually dangerous.
Yeah, it's good fun.
You're talking Greg Stafford, the former player.
Not him and his brother. No, he didn't go for a special celebrity appearance.
What about the ratings? We all knew it was going to rate, Damo, but gee, wowee.
Yeah, and I think that's another reason too, isn't it, Bill? When they're so massive lined up against the NRL, and ultimately Channel 7, when it's all said and done, did basically prop up the entire industry this year by committing to the money. Now, it was at a reduced rate, but without it, there was going to be carnage. There was carnage. It was going to be horrendous financial carnage. They kept it going, and I would imagine they would be pitching for and making it well aware to the AFL that that's what they want next year, given the extra advertising dollars that come with a prime time, even though it is a weekend day, a prime time appearance.
Now, you're the number one breaker in the game, Damo. What is going on with the Lethal Lee Matthews stuff? Because it's sort of been laughed off because he's a champion of the game. What just happens if that is a lot closer, that voting, and that's a stuff-up that isn't addressed at the time? What's your view on it, and where to from here? Have the AFL addressed it, or is it just sort of play on?
Look, they've dodged a bullet, haven't they? And while I find it hilariously funny that the game's greatest player can just totally stuff up the most important votes of his life when it comes to judging a footy game. And I do find that funny because I was so stressed about doing it myself. I was hoping to avoid something like Lee Matthews created for himself.
Imagine if you'd done it, Damo. Oh, Purple would have copped it. Bill, four eyes, you didn't have your glasses on.
That's bullying, Bill.
I would still be in the fetal position under the desk at the Gabba. I wouldn't have left if I'd done that, I reckon. And you guys, and rightly so, would have given it to me. And you may not have even let me back on this year. I don't know.
Back
to your point, Daisy, a bullet was dodged. At one stage I had, for what it's worth, Jaden Short in front in the third quarter because I had to pay a lot of attention to the game. But had it been a line ball decision, which some Norm Smiths have been over the years, and Jaden Short, who ended up being a clear second amongst the whole panel independently, if it had been closer, it would have been a far bigger story than what it has been.
Dodge the bullet there, Big Lethal.
Well, the grand final's over and all the wash-up. Thanks for that, Damo. But now we head into the silly season. Yeah. And one question we all want to know is where Adam Treloar will find himself next year. Damien Barrett joins us for Coates Hire. Trade Talk up next on The Rush Hour. Billy Brownless and Dale Thomas. This is Triple M's Rush Hour. And for Coates Hire, for the last time this year, Damien Barrett joins us.
He does indeed. Sorry.
Are you doing the form?
Tell us. No, I was just trying to find a good joke. Hey, Damo, Adam Kilour. Now, this is a worry for Collingwood because this sort of rumour and can split players, it can split supporters. What's going on with Adam Kilour?
Here's me thinking, I was dealing with a bad delay for 8 weeks in the cross onto the Sunday footy show. Bill, look, clearly something's happened, and I know for a fact that the Gold Coast Suns did have the approach out to Treloar probably about 3 weeks ago, and it was pushed away, but it was also put to me, and I'm assuming this has happened since, that they were going to revisit it. They're under an instruction or a consideration, Daisy, within the club to exhaust all options on him. Having watched a lot of these trade machinations go down and the way this one's been played out publicly and initially denied and refuted to a point, I see it still going down this path. The pick five that the Suns have got, Daisy, whether that is used in isolation, whether it's used partially, whether it's split and another player comes involved, but I actually do see this one playing out that way now. That's my read on it. And for the family reasons, Bill, to which you've been referring to on this show, relating to Adam Treloar, it's a beautiful fit to have him up there on the Gold Coast Suns.
It seems to me now that obviously that was the initial look that maybe other clubs were interested. Is there a little bit of a push now that that's just an easy out for the Pies just to slide him out the door and sort of work at that angle? Or is that wrong of me to assume that?
No, it could be, Daisy, but I just obviously go back to the fact that the Suns have made the approach. Look, Adam Treloar's contract, and that's the default position for him when he talks publicly about it. And we all heard him say that a couple of weeks ago, that he wants to stay as a Pie. But as I said at that point in time too, I don't believe a word Adam Treloar says when he talks about his contracts for future years, because in 2015, when he was a Giant, and out of contract, he said that he wasn't going to Collingwood, despite everyone knowing that to be the case. And then, as we know, 3 months later, he was a Collingwood player. So I think you take his words, public words, out of it anyway. But there's just enough noise now. And I also do know that the Suns are really keen, Bill, to explore all possibilities to the nth degree on this one.
Wowee. It's huge, isn't it? He's still got, what, 3 or 4 years to go at Collingwood contracted?
It's multiple years, multiple years, yeah.
We're going to throw some names at you, Damo, and we'll get a quick, succinct of a summary of what's happening with them, please, because we can go on here. All right, Jordan DeGoey.
Stay. Again, these are my opinions here, Bill, yes, so don't hold me to this, but my opinion is that he'd be more likely to stay.
Stephen Martin.
Likely to go. Wants to play again, not necessarily with the Brisbane Lions.
Jordan Clark.
Still feel that he will go back to Perth and that the Dockers, despite what's being said today about him, will be keen to see what he wants to do.
Mason Cox.
Stays. Again, that's opinion.
Isaac Smith.
I'm having him at one of Melbourne or Geelong. Melbourne's got 3 years in front of him, I believe. Geelong's got 2 years in front of him. The appeal for Geelong is the team aspect of it being nearer than grand finals, and he does still have the consideration of staying for 2 more years as a Hawk.
Josh Dunkley?
I reckon he stays just because of the contractual arrangements. To me, he's too good a player to allow to walk. Whatever's happened there, and clearly something has, Essendon's got inside his head. He may not have been all that happy with how he was asked to play this year, Daisy, but he was in the All-Australian squad last year. He didn't make the All-Australian team, but when you're that sort of player and you had an injury interrupted 2020, I'm not allowing him to go if you've already got him on their books.
Interesting to see Gian Siracusa has gone across to Essendon, the former coach, of course, at the assistant coach at the Dogs. That's interesting, Damo. Yeah.
I hadn't actually drawn a link or potential link between that, Bill, but that's not a bad little behind the scenes possibilities around that arrangement. Yes.
Well, there would be, you'd think, because Gia would know how good he is, and he didn't get a lot of midfield time last year or this year. Sorry. So, what's that space, Jeremy Cameron? What's it going to take?
You'll get to Geelong, Bill. Yeah, look, that's going to become the interesting aspect of it. But when you've got a club as good as Geelong and with a man by the name of Stephen Wells and being helped by your mate Andrew Mackie now, Bill, who's doing a very good job in that space, those good clubs don't miss those opportunities, and they'll work something out. You can guarantee it. And we'll be talking a lot for the next 2.5 weeks as to how that happens, won't we? But they will get it done, and they'll do it on terms that suit them more than the Giants, obviously.
And what about Jesse Hogan? He's got $650,000 a year with 1 year to go. Does he go and someone helps the Dockers pay that out, or what's the likely play there?
Yeah, look, I've taken the view on this one now, Daisy, that the Dockers do just want him out. They've had 2 years of problems, in inverted commas. They knew what they were getting when they got him across. But obviously under Justin Longmuir, he's just not prepared to tolerate the type of behaviour that Jesse Hogan can sometimes bring to the club. And that's fine. That's how Longmuir has set himself up to be. And he, in their ideal world now, won't be at the Dogs. I thought he showed enough, despite all the setbacks and problems he had this year, to think that he's still worth persevering with at a reasonably high level of money to be paid.
Clayton Oliver.
I think he stays, Bill, just because of the contractual arrangements that I think are still in place. And, again, there's certainly been some noise about him. And look, I believe he wasn't all that happy with how certain things unfolded in 2020, but he wouldn't be the only player at his current club to have problems with how this season particularly unfolded. And as such, I just don't see the Demons entertaining a talk around him, Bill, at this stage.
And
Damo, well, thank Billy, you.
I've got one more. Scotty Pendlebury.
Don't be silly, Daisy. Yeah,
no, yes. There's rumours,
they can't
Bill.
Lose. They can't lose Treloar and Pendlebury.
Yeah, I'm starting
what
to
what rumours, Daisy?
Just seeing how good you were, Damo. That's why you're the best in the business.
You are the best in the business, and you have joined us all season, Damo, and we really appreciate it, mate. You've been fantastic. What's on now? A little holiday? Where are you going to go? To Lara or somewhere?
We've got Trade Radio, Bill. Trade Radio for another 3 weeks, so we're still involved in all of that sort of stuff, and then we'll have this footy Sunday footy show catch up at some stage, won't we, Bill?
Well, maybe. We'll just see how we go there. Yeah. See if we can get some money out of the slush fund. No, the slush fund at 9. Surely they can find some money there, Damien.
If there's one thing that's hard to find in 2020, Bill, at any level of any organisation, of any individual, it's money. So we might have to put our own hands in our own pockets, I reckon. And I'm happy to do that, Bill.
No, I'm not.
Damo's recovery session.
When you need a tool, call Co-Tire on 13.
It's Rush Hour, Triple M. Dale Thomas and Billy Brownless. This is Triple M's Rush Hour. Now, we all know 2020 has shown Aussies true colours and how we can band together in difficult times to help each other out. An Australian Red Cross Lifeblood has partnered with 6 Aussie artists to launch limited edition artist design bandages to host blood and plasma donations during October and November. Donors will be wrapped in a colourful bandage designed by one of the 6 very, very talented artists. By donating with the Australian Red Cross Lifeblood this month, you'll be able to show off your true colours with a limited edition artist design arm bandage. Call 13 14 95 or visit donateblood.com.au to donate. Show your true colours with Australian Red Cross Lifeblood by donating today. Bill, have you ever donated blood?
Yes, I have, Rabsy, and it's a very good thing to do. It takes about 30 or 40 minutes. I went down to South Melbourne when they used to be there, and guess what you get? You get a nice little drink, you get a sausage roll, you get biscuits. I even had some chippies while I was there, and you know you're doing a good thing. So it doesn't take long. It doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. That's the main thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't hurt. And you walk out feeling good about yourself. So call 13 14 95 or visit donateblood.com.au.
And you could save lives as well, Bill, which is probably the most important thing as well.
Well said.
Coming up next, though, Bill, is your joke. Have you got a good one for us?
Bloody oath.
Coming up tomorrow, we have a special all-sports hump day quiz. The quiz is still going, Bill.
Oh, of course it is. It's very, very popular.
It's my first one, so I'm very much looking forward to how that is still on air and just casting my eye across it too, Bill. Looking forward to that.
Just try and stay positive.
I'm always positive. It's half full for me.
We're going to have a Movember ambassador on as well and a former Carlton player, not only you, Dil Buckley, Dale.
Dil Buckley, an absolute ripper too, Bill. You'll like him. He's got the great podcast too, Dil and Friends, and doing some great work in the Movember space as well. So we look forward. This should be a cracking show. But, Bill, today's been a ripper.
Yeah.
The people of Melbourne are up and about. It is your job just to carry this off into
the beers.
Yes, before we do that, just carry us off into the night sky. So let one rip, old boy.
Right.
In the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Here's a little tickler for you, Daisy. What does the dentist of the year get? He just gets a little plaque. But I've got the me number two now. This is the main.
So, Ian, is the second one better than the first one? Because that was crap.
No, that was good. No, that was a little crap. One at the dinner table, a little pluck. How did the New Zealander find the sheep in the tall grass, Daisy?
I don't know, but I'm looking forward to finding out.
Very, very satisfying.
Bill, no. can't. Oh, the boys across the ditch.
Did he shear the sheep?
Oh, he's not shearing it with anyone.
Very good, Pat. Very good.
Get on the beers.
We're on the beers. There. Very satisfying.